This morning we will be talking about Esther as one of the faithful believers in the Old Testament that we as a church should be emulating today, especially in this season of revitalization where the Lord is revitalizing us and the Lord is leading us to a place where we will be better positioned to worship and to honor His name. And so this morning I will be preaching on the title, Believers Stand in the Gap for Their People. And my text is Esther chapter 4, verse 7 to 17. Esther chapter 4, verse 7 to 17 says this. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the king and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may leave. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all of the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But for you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Let us pray. Speak to us this morning, O God, from this text. We believe in the message of the text, because the message of the text is the message of the Lord. And so may you increase, O God, as I delve in the exposition of this text, why I and my education and my human tendencies decrease. For it's not about me. It's not about any man. It's about you speaking to your people. So Lord, I pray, speak, O Master, speak, for your servants are listening. So right now, fill our hearts and prepare us, open our ears, give us the ability to grasp the truth from your word and retain it in our hearts. But by the time we leave this place, will truly have your word in us better than we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the world today, there is a prevailing sense of evil. Different types of evil, whether from a political perspective, from a moral perspective, from a spiritual perspective, evil is permeating every nook and cranny of our society. And regrettably, the church is no exception. As a matter of fact, according to the Herald newspaper, there are some of the following evils that we are plagued with in our world today. A decline in community. A growth in individualism and self-centeredness. A growth in consumerism and greed, which was clearly expressed this season, where one family will go to the shopping mall and buy all of the, you know, paper towels, and others don't have. And according to this Herald newspaper's report, this is one of the evils that we face in our society today. And of course, a decline in moral and spiritual values, a decline in family, and a rise in drugs and alcohol abuse, which often results in crime and violence. And when we look at the church as a community of faith, we could still see the evil prevailing in different ways, especially the fact that in the church today, we are not as concerned with living by the Spirit as we are concerned with living by the flesh. We have a less interest in the Word of God, less interest in the things of God, and more interest in the things that gratify the desires of the flesh. That is an evil that we are currently faced in the church today. We are also faced with a strong sense of inability or lack of cooperation in participating in the affairs of the church. A nonchalant attitude. To be nonchalant is to not have enthusiasm or passion or be passive about the work of God or the things of God. The church is plagued with the evil of nonchalance in our society today. And do you know why? Do you know why evil keeps spreading in our society? Why evil keeps spreading in the church? The Irish statesman and philosopher, in the person of Edmund Burke, answers this correctly when he says this. He says, all that is required for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. If the good men and women in the church do nothing, evil will triumph. If the good men and women in our society do nothing, evil will triumph. If the good men and women in our nation do nothing, evil will triumph. And so the question I'm asking this morning is, against the backdrop of this prevailing evil in our culture, in our society, are there still good men? Do we still have good men and women in Glen Burnie Baptist Church? Are there still good men in our community? And if the answer is yes, then why are we not where we're supposed to be as a church? If the answer is yes, why are we not where we're supposed to be as a community? And the answer is obvious. Because our good men and our good women have folded their arms and are doing nothing. They're doing nothing to save our community from decline, from moral and spiritual decline. Our good men and women in our churches are doing nothing to step up and serve God more passionately. And because of their nonchalant attitude, we are what we are today. But why? Why is it that we will be blessed with good men and women in our church? Why would we be blessed with good men and women in our society? Yet, we are experiencing different types of challenges. Yet, we are seeing a rise in drug abuse, in killings, and in just breaking the law. Yet, we see a rise in people not living out the life of Christ. Why would we have good men and yet we face these things? It could be because the good men do not realize that they are good men and women. They do not realize that God has called them, have empowered them, and has placed them in strategic positions in the church, in strategic positions in the society, so that there will be a beacon of hope, so that there will be they will have a positive influence to others, but they fail to do what they've been called to do. They fail to be what they've been called to be, and as a result of that, the church suffers. The nation suffers. God has called and empowered these good men and women with specific skills, with specific potentials. And not just for their own personal aggrandizement, but for the well-being of his church and for the well-being of the community. But they sit down and do nothing. And so the church suffers. And the community suffers. And usually because they don't have genuine love. They don't have genuine love for their church. They don't have genuine love for their community. Because the Bible teaches us that one of the characteristics of love is that love puts others first before self. Love considers the well-being of the community and not just the well-being of self. And because of lack of love, the church suffers. I want to ask you this morning, do you love your church? Do you love your church? I want to ask you this morning, do you love your community? I want to ask you this morning, do you love your nation? Now I know that our church is not perfect. Now I know that our community is not perfect and our nation is not perfect, but do you still love your church? You see, because love keeps no wrong. Reminds me of the Latin phrase. It says, amor vincit omnia. Love conquers all. So against the imperfection of our church, you can still love the church if you have genuine love for the church. You might say to me, I'm not sure whether I qualify as one of the good people in Glen Burnie Baptist Church. You might say, I'm not sure whether I qualify as one of the good people in this community. You don't have to have a special education. You don't have to have a special skill. You don't have to look in a certain way for you to be considered a good person. If you love God, and if you love God's people, you are one of the good people in our community. And so by virtue of this simplistic definition of who is good, you are good. Because you are a child of God. And you've been called to serve. So my challenge this morning is for the good people of our church to rise up. The good people of our community to rise up and do whatever is necessary to save our church based on the talents, based on the grace that God has given you, The resources that God has given you, you have been called and you have been equipped and you have been empowered to save this church. To save your community. Especially now that we are faced with this deadly virus, there is something you can do. God is calling you to do something. The songwriter says, if you cannot be the watchman standing high on Zion wall, you can still do something. You can still tell the love of Jesus. If you cannot be the missionary who will go and travel abroad to spread the gospel, you can still share the gospel to your next door neighbor. There is something that every one of us can do. If you, even not for anything, you can pray. You can pray for our community. Because you have been called and empowered to do that. Because if we, the good men and women of our community and our church, do not do something according to our calling, then we may not survive. As a church, we may not survive. If those who have been empowered to serve in different committees refuse to serve, those who have been blessed financially refuse to give, those who have been blessed with a gift of singing and praise refuse to praise, we may not survive. Our survival as a church depends on you acting on your love for the church. Our survival as a community, especially in these trying times, depends on your love for your community and acting with love for your community by respecting the recommendations from the CDC, Center for Disease Control, to be cautious, to care for yourself and those around you. Not spread the virus or put others in harm's way. Just being cautious and loving. That simplistic approach to love is what we all need at a time like this. Because if we don't do it, we might not survive. Your love is needed at this time. This was exactly the same situation that the Jews were in when they were living in Persia at the time. And while they were in this nation of Persia, a very evil man called Haman, who was the advisor of the king, came to the king and poisoned the mind of the king against God's people who were living in Persia. And convinced the king to sign a decree to eliminate all the Jews who were living in Persia at the time. More like something like a coronavirus outbreak from a political sense. To destroy everyone who identified as a Jew. And the king signed this decree, and it was established in the entire nation. And the Jews, especially the Jews who were in a city called Susa, the Bible tells us that when they heard this, knowing that this came from the king himself, knowing that they could not save themselves from the situation, the Bible tells us that they broke down in tears. They tore their clothes and they put on sackcloth and they poured ashes on their bodies and they lifted up their voices and began to cry. And they began to cry. And they began to cry. And one of them, in the name of Mordecai, did not only cry in the comfort of his home, he left his home, he left Susa, and he went and was crying in front of the king's gates. And he was crying there. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly the content of his cry. But I could imagine Mordecai bitterly crying and saying, "Help! Help! Who is going to help us now? We are facing a possible extinction. There is this decree. There is this virus that is against our people. Who will help us? Who will help God's people? Who will save God's people from this imminent death? And he began to cry so bitterly. But there was someone who actually could help. Her name was Esther. Now Esther, by the special grace of God, had become the queen of the land, even though she was a Jew. And so when Esther heard this Mordecai crying so bitterly in front of the king's gate, she sent one of her servants called Hathach to go inquire why he was crying like that. Then we see in our text in verses 7 to 9, Mordecai explained the situation to Hathach, Esther's servant, and even gave him the decree from the king concerning their extinction, or concerning their annihilation. When Esther heard this, Esther was greatly troubled. At the moment, Esther was the only privileged one in the whole kingdom. She was the only one who was in a position to do something. She could use her influence as a king to change the mind of the king. And so the people of Israel looked up to her. She was their savior. They had no other option but to count on her love for the nation and to count on her commitment to serve her people. But unfortunately, as we see in verses 10 to 11, when Esther received the request from her own people that she should go and intercede on their behalf, she counted the cost. She considered the risk involved and she decided to decline their request. Because there was a standing law that says no one is to appear before the king unless invited by the king. Anyone who appeared before the king uninvited will face the ultimate punishment of death. And Esther said, I can't do that. I can't risk my life just because I want to save yours. It's too dangerous. I love you, but I don't love you that much to risk my own life for your sake. And so she declined. You know, the real problem that the Jews were facing at the time was not just that a decree had been issued against them. The real problem was that the one who could save them, the one who could make that go away, was unwilling to do that because she put herself and her safety first. And therefore she didn't want to consider anyone else. And that's where we, as a community, are. Those who are in the position to make change, to bring about some good in our community, perhaps in our church, are often reluctant to do that because they put their interest first. And it's not that they are mean or evil. It's just that they love themselves more than they love God's people. And so Esther refused. But the truth is, no matter how hopeless the situation is for God's people, God will always find a way. God will always make a way to save his people from trouble. And that is why, as God's own people who have a better understanding of this, we must approach ministry, church life, and community life from a selfless perspective, from a perspective that shows clear love for our people. Which is why in 1961, as some of you may recall, President John F. Kennedy, in his inaugural address, advised all Americans when he said this. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. You see, if you approach life from that perspective, what is in it for me? What can my country do for me? What can my church do for me? You will end up being a citizen that is not very helpful to build the society. If you approach ministry from that perspective, what can my church do for me? As opposed to, what can I do for my church? You will fail to be a meaningful member of the community of faith. You see, God has called you to contribute to the treasure trove of ministry in this church. What question are you asking? Are you that Christian asking, what can my church do for me? Or what can I do for my church? Or what am I doing for my church? What am I doing for my community? But in order for you to know what you can do for your church and for your community, you need to first ask yourself the question, what do I have? Do I have time? How much time do I have? Do I have money or resources? How much has God given me? Based on the time that God has given me, based on the resources that God has given me, based on the gift that God has given me, based on the talent that God has given me, what can I do for my church? Esther, at first, was only thinking about herself. What can I do for me? What can I do to be saved? What can I do so that this will not affect me? And by so doing, several others were left out in the cold. When the words of Esther reached Mordecai, he was very disappointed with Esther. And so in verses 12 to 14, Mordecai replied Esther and she said, Queen Esther, I'm really disappointed at what you've said. If you think that the fate that is going to befall the Jews will not affect you, then you are mistaken. Because don't forget that you too are a Jew. And this decree is for all the Jews. It's one of the things that we sometimes do not understand is that what affects the eyes, as the African adage would go, also affects the nose. When you don't do something for your church, it also affects you. When you don't do something for your community, it also affects you. Just like what the Center for Disease Control has been advising the community today, or in this period. Don't just think about your well-being, think about the well-being of the community. Make decisions that is not only going to affect you, but the community as a whole, because what affects the community will affect you as well. And I was reading someone's Facebook post, and it was ironic, but really true, and he said, some of the individuals who go into the shops and buy all the toilet papers, they fail to realize that if they buy everything and have it, the rest of the community has nothing. And so they still will not be saved. And so King Haman was saying, Esther, don't only think about yourself, because you are a Jew too. If this law, if this decree were to be practiced, know that even you too will be destroyed. And he said, have you ever actually considered why you are queen? Because you are a Jew like us, that by the special grace of God, you rose up to become queen. And he said, perhaps the reason why you are who you are today is for such a time as this. That God may use you to deliver his people from this imminent danger. And he goes on to say, but even if Esther, You chose to be selfish and self-centered and not think about anyone else but yourself. I want you to know that help will come from somewhere else. Is it because when it comes to matters of God, no one is indispensable? God will call you and God will use you. But if you think you are too big, God will use someone else. And Mordecai told her and said, if you don't do that, help will come from somewhere else. Because our God is faithful and he will deliver us. When Esther heard these words, Esther really was touched by these words. And Esther realized how selfish she had been to put her interest first and not the interest of the community. And she decided to do the right thing. My hope and my prayer for you this morning is that you will have a change of heart as Esther did. You may have been thinking about yourself more than you should, or perhaps you've been thinking about yourself at the expense of your church or your community. I encourage you to have a rethink. Esther decided to do the right thing. In verses 15 to 17, she decided to face the king on behalf of her people, even though she knew the dangers involved. And she told her people to do what? To pray and fast for her. Those who are selfless should understand that they are being backed by men and women who pray for them. That's who we are as a community of faith. And she went on to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for my people. I'm going to do this for God's own people. Even though I know the dangers involved. And if I perish, I perish. It was Dr. King who once said, we will never be able to live in peace until we have first defeated the fear of dying. As long as you are afraid of death, you will not live in peace. But the moment you defeat the fear of dying, especially when you embrace the theology of the cross, to know that Christ has died once and for all, and the life you now live is a life in Christ, though you will live, yet not you living, but Christ living in you, you will speak like the Apostle Paul, who said, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. He said, whether I live or whether I die, it is unto the Lord. As Christians, we must come to the point where we put the interest of our church, of our people, before our own. That's what selfless love is all about. This morning, I'm calling on Esthers of our church to stand up. This morning, I'm calling on the Esthers in our community to stand up and love the community. You see, love is what is going to hold us together in these trying times. Love is what is going to keep us strong if we as a church don't give up on each other and stand together to rebuild this church. So the message we get from this text is that just as the Jews needed Esther, we need the Esthers of today. And who are the Esthers of today? Men and women who love God and who love God's people. So will you be the Esthers of our church? Will you be the Esthers of our community and rise up and stand in the gap? This is a very challenging season. This nation needs the church to stand in the gap. Our community needs the churches in this community to stand in the gap. Our church needs you to stand in the gap. Will you rise up and stand in the gap? Will you stand in the gap for your community, for your nation? Rise up and stand in the gap for your family. Rise up and stand in the gap for your children. Rise up and stand in the gap for your marriage. Rise up and stand in the gap for those in bondage. Rise up like Esther and stand in the gap for the sick among us. Remembering our homebound members, some of whom are watching us live right now. Remembering our members who are currently hospitalized. Rise up and stand in the gap for those who have been diagnosed with the coronavirus in America and around the world. Rise up and stand in the gap for nations, for kingdoms, for governments, as they deal with the situation. Rise up and stand in the gap for Glen Burnie Baptist Church as we go through revitalization. Rise up, O men of God. Rise up. Rise up, O women of God. Rise up and stand in the gap. Give your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength to serve the King of Kings, to serve His church, to serve His community. Be like Esther, who changed her mind and rather showed true love for her community, even when she was putting her own self in danger. Rise up, O men of God. Rise up. At this time, we are going to spend this time in reflection. Know that this is a season where God is calling on you to rise up to do something. One of the most powerful ways in which you can do something in this time is to go down on your knees in prayer. Someone said, the distance between our problem and our solution is the distance between our knees and the floor. Whenever we cover that distance and we kneel down in prayer, in the spiritual sense, we know that we are standing in the gap for our church. Whenever we step out of our comfort zone and we give our time and our resources and our talents for the well-being of the church, we are standing in the gap for our church. Whenever we care for our community, we don't put ourselves in a compromising situation or allow others to put themselves in compromising situations to ensure their safety. We are caring for our community and we are standing in the gap. True believers are men and women who rise up and stand in the gap for their loved ones. So rise up, men of God, women of God, rise up.
Stand with me as we sing. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to the task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where his feet have trod, as brothers of the Son of Man.
Please remember, immediately after the service, those who are part of the church council will be meeting at briefly for our meeting. We'll actually meet in the chapel since the ensemble will not be meeting. And so please, again, know that God is in control. As you leave this church, know that you are in the name of the Lord. And care for yourself, care for your family. Love your neighbor. Follow the recommendations from the Center for Disease Control. Be a good citizen. Show the love of God, because we love better when we are inspired by the love of God. be in prayer. Pray that God will take away this deadly pestilence and bring our society back to normal. Let's pray that this will be quicker than we think so that life can return to normal. Please be in faith. Thank you so much for coming. I am personally very encouraged to see this number here this morning. Thank you so much for coming. Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. May the peace of God that is above every human understanding rest upon us, so that we will not be worried, so that we will not be afraid. May the joy of the Lord give us the strength that we need to stand firm as we hope to see what our Lord will do. May we inspire others as we go not to be afraid. And may we provide a positive energy in the community and within our spheres of influence. May God use us for His glory in these trying times. And above all, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all for the glory of God. Go in peace and serve the Lord.